left over from Shuni Mara. So we mentioned that the Mishnah tells us that if a mikveh changes colors, that's bad news. Because even if the mikveh was kosher before and it had more than 40 saw, then you pour a little bit of wine in, and if it's red wine, purple wine, it changes the color of the mikveh, and the mikveh becomes pasul. So the Rishonim write, it's only a psalm of the Rabbanon, but l'maisim, Shulchan Aruch, it says that the mikveh is pasul. This din of Shuni Mara usually works against you, because it means it could potentially disqualify mikveh, but it may work for you in the following sense. Shulchan Aruch quotes, we've shown him already, the first source, this is based on a Tosefta, that if you have Mayim Sheuvim, so Mayim Sheuvim are, of course, pasul, could potentially pasul a mikveh, water that was in a kli, you can be mafkiya, so to speak, the Shem Sheuvim, at least temporarily. It means if you have Gimel Lugim Mayim Sheuvim, which potentially they fall into a mikveh chasa, will ruin for you. If first you pour wine into the Mayim Sheuvim, so now they don't look like water anymore, now they look like diluted wine, they have a different color, it's Shuni Mara. So you get a freebie, you get the psul Sheuvim, so to speak, is put on hold, and even if that water subsequently gets mixed into the mikveh, it's not going to disqualify the mikveh. Why is this important for us? We mentioned at the very end of the shiur 2 weeks ago, this becomes critical when cleaning a mikveh. Let's go back, we spoke about this really months ago, the old age-old problem of cleaning a mikveh. Say in the old days, before we have before the pumps and everything, the old style way of cleaning a mikveh. So you had a mikveh that was full of rainwater, after a little while, it got dirty. So what did you do? You went down with buckets, and you started to empty out the water out of the mikveh. As long as the mikveh is above 40 saw, the fact that you put a bucket into the mikveh is irrelevant. But eventually you're going to get below the point of 40 saw. Now you're asking for trouble. Once you get below 40 saw of water left in the mikveh, it's subject to becoming pasul b'shem mayim sheuvim. Any sheuvim that's going to be added on at that point can disqualify the mikveh. So when you're scooping out some of the water with the bucket, inevitably some's going to fall back into the mikveh. And lo and behold, you're going to end up with pasul water. So this is an old problem that Rishonim already were bothered with. How do you clean out the mikveh without having to worry that you're going to pasul the mikveh in the process? So some came up with a great idea. Whatever water is left at the very end, you have to clean it. You can't get it bone dry, so there's a little bit of water left on the bottom, which is potentially mayim sheuvim. Take a bottle of ketim, not the white wine, you have to take the red wine, and pour it into the bottom. And whatever water there has just turned red, so now it's no longer a problem of sheuvim. Then fill up the mikveh again from scratch with mega shamim, or if you're going to get the mega shamim there. And eventually put in enough, it's going to dilute the wine, and it's going to look like you're not going to see the wine anymore. So you're going to have perfectly clear, beautifully clear mikveh water, which is totally kosher. This is a gevaldik eitzah. This is what they call it, it's koshering a mikveh. I mean, literally, that's what it means. You can get around the problem of mayim sheuvim. What if you don't do this stunt? What if you're not into pouring wine into a mikveh? So the other option is to make sure the mikveh is totally bone dry. So that's the only way to do it. However, we could draw the following distinction. Anamik vos. Depending on which system you're using, whether you're using a Bor HaShapa or a Bor Zriya, you're going to have significantly more of a problem of Mayim Sheuvim for the following very basic reason. If you're using a system of HaShapa, that means basically the Bor Tevila, the place where the women are going to be Tevil in, so you want to empty that. You can empty it out and now you can have a little bit of water left in the bottom that may be Sheuvim, and you'll add in more water in a Sheuvim, Gaval, 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 doesn't make a difference. You're going to touch it to the bar, to the bar, make a shaman in a minute anyway. You're going to create a shock in a moment.
Plugged up then.
Right. It's plugged up then. But b'shas ma'isa, b'shas tefila, you're going to do a hashacha. You're going to connect the pasul and mikveh to the kosher mikveh. It's a big deal that it's a pasul and mikveh. My nafkamina that it's a pasul and mikveh. It doesn't make a difference. Because you're going to do a hashacha to make a shaman anyway. But if you're using only the system of Bor Zriya, then you're in potential problems. Why? I remember the diagram, so go back in your mind to the pictures. Basically, with the Bor Zriya, what you have is as follows. You have a Bor Tevila, and I emptied out the Bor Tevila, and you have a little bit of water on the bottom, potentially a couple ounces of water that may be Mayim Sheuvim. And now, when you do Zriya, by pouring the city water through the Bor Zriya, it's coming on top of the Mayim Sheuvim. That's Gimel Lugim Mayim Sheuvim B'Tchila. You're starting out with Gimel Lugim Mayim Sheuvim before you have a Mikra 40 saw. That's disaster. So if you're dealing with a Bor Zriya, you have a much more serious problem of residue water from cleaning the Bor Tevila. Whereas if you're dealing with a Bor HaShapa, the problem is really very, 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 very minimal. It really doesn't exist at all. Go figure. Hashgacha Prata. Somebody this morning came up to me in the Beis Medrash, and they said they have a shaila to ask me. They've been bothered the entire Shavuos with the shaila. How come when you fill up of using a bor hashgacha, you have to be careful that the bor tevila was totally dry? Out of nowhere, they asked me the shaila. And they learned mikvahs, and I said, "Come to Pram." They didn't pick me up on it. Said, "Come to Pram, and you'll get the answer." The answer is you don't.
No.
The answer is there's no reason to. But in Echidam, if you're using a bor hashgacha, it's not got nothing to worry about. It's only when you have a bor zriya alone that you really have to have a you really have to be so concerned. Because man is that we try to make the mikvah kosher on the holidays. We don't want to take any chances, so we were very makbid and dry in the mikvah also. We're putting wine in the mikvah, other systems to get around the problem. But technically speaking, if you have a bor hashgacha, if you have a bor hashgacha, then you're home free. Just to conclude this sugya before we begin the next one, a maisa nor of ayam, based on this halacha. This is the unbelievable maisa. It was a mikvah that was built in Beit Shemesh. I don't know how many years ago. Well, it wasn't recently. A good many years ago. And originally, when they built the mikvah, they built it with a bor zriya and a bor hashgacha, like many of the mikvahs that were built in Eretz Yisrael 40, 50 years ago. Were both good. What started to happen, the community of Beit Shemesh at the time, go figure, wasn't all that firm. And things have changed significantly. And there were many women who were using the mikvah who were like borderline, you know, firm guy. And the mikvah started to get dirty, as we mentioned. That was the Chazon Ish's main reason why he was opposed to bor hashgacha, that it's hard to keep the mikvah, you know, crystal clean. So the Rabbanim of Beit Shemesh decided, you know what, we're going to close off the bor hashgacha. We don't want to take a chance that there'll be one woman who's not so from, she'll see the mikvah is a little bit dirty, so she'll stop going to the mikvah altogether. So they decided, you know what, it's better, let's follow the Chazon Ish, we'll make a mikvah just with bor zriya, forget a bor hashgacha. But that's where it was. For several years, the mikvah was functioning just using bor zriya. One day, the Rav, who was in charge of the mikvah, came into the mikvah one morning, and he noticed that there were like buckets, like, you know, wet buckets on the side of the mikvah. So he called in the mikvah lady, asked, you know, Nayai. So she said, well, what she did was as follows. She was like a substitute mikvah lady. That's where the story was presented. She, well, it wasn't the regular. So when she emptied the mikvah, the bor tevila, the night before, so she dried it down to the bone as the previous mikvah lady had instructed her, was with a dump with the blow dries, and then it was totally completely dry. And then she just wanted to make sure that it was really clean, so she took buckets of water and she poured it all around the mikvah to make sure it was clean. So the Rav asked her, did you dry the second buckets? Did you dry the water from the second buckets? They didn't tell me to dry the water from the second buckets. They told me to dry the water from the original empty out of the mikvah. So, Hashem Kol Tishmael Tislanu Shnei Hasna, what does the Pasuk Navi says? Mikvah was mamish pasul gomer. It's not a chumrah, it's mamish absolutely pasul. It was more than gimel lugin, it was totally lugin. It's a shayla b'psul deraisa. The mikvah was totally completely pasul because they had plugged up the bor hashgacha, since they were only allowing on a bor zriya. So gavat, so this Rav was now going to try to track down. This had been going on apparently for the last several nights. Going to track down who used the mikvah in the last week. To go home and tell them the good news that there's still a need, that they have to go back to the mikvah again. After this event happened, they reopened the bor hashgacha in Beit Shemesh. I don't know what the mikvah was. There are plenty more new mikvahs since then. But that was the tragic story of the Beit Shemesh mikvah. So anyway, maybe in Yavin, that's one of the downsides of bor zriya. You goof. So you may be goofing big time. Okay, now we get to our last topic. There is a whole discussion which begins with the Mishnah, Maseches Megillos, a discussion of the Rishonim and the Acharonim, a very important dinim concerning the permissibility of snow and ice for a mikvah. So maybe you're wondering, who in the world is using snow and ice? There are many, many mikvahs that are built in America, not in this part of America where there's fairly enough rain, but there are many mikvahs that are built using the principle of transporting ice from the mountaintops, places which don't get enough rain. So we have to go through the basic halachas concerning snow and ice. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Megillos, is the way the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim assume, that snow is acceptable for tevila. One can be tovel in snow. That's the question. However, there's machlekes of Rishonim. What do the words mean? The Mishnah speaks about the osin mikvah misheleg. The question is, what do the words mean? Osin mikvah misheleg, how? So, comes to Mordechai and quotes a machlekes between Rabbeinu Shmaria and Rabbeinu Eliezer, two of the Gedolei Harishonim, who had a fundamental machlekes of what's pshat in the Mishnah. Comes Rabbeinu Shmaria and says, you're allowed to be tovel b'sheleg even when it's still sheleg, in the state of snow. Snow is like water, my nafkamin, it's the same thing. Comes Rabbeinu Shmaria and says, it's totally mutter lechatchila, if you have the guts, if you're able to brace yourself, it's mutter to go into a... By the Hasidim, the Tevila B'Shelag, that's like, you know, that's the Kisurin. So it comes a bit of Shemayah and says, it's Mutal Lechatchil to be Tevil, even for Nisakares, for Nidal, Baila, it's Mutal to be Tevil B'Shelag. So this is Rabbeinu Shemayah Shita. Comes Rabbeinu Elazar the other day in the Mordechai and says, Chas V'Shalom. When the Mishnah says that snow is kosher for a mikvah, that means after it melts, after it melts, it's water. So that's okay. But, that's the Shalom. What's the Chiddush? We'll get to the Chiddush in a little while. This is the Machlekes every Shanim, 2 days in the morning. Can you be tovel in snow? But Odo Sheleg, or must you wait until it melts? There is a question about what do the other Rishonim say about this. So if you take a look at the Rambam, describes Tevila B'Sheleg, and the Rambam writes, if you merasek the Sheleg, then you're permitted to tovel in it. The question is, what does merasek the Sheleg mean? So comes the Beis Yosef and says, all merasek means is that you have to pat it down. Because if it's, you have to come and compact the snow, but because otherwise it's going to be impossible to be mishayar the 40 saw. It's going to be, you have to take it. It's like eating the matzah; you can't take the air spaces. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, what the Rama means is you just have to flatten it down, pat it down. But if you get it patted down and it's 40 saw, pat it down, compacted snow. So then the Rama holds it's okay, and there's no need to melt the snow. Comes the Shach and says that's the mistranslation of the word merasik. The word merasik means to crush. And it says the Shach, what merasik means is that it's melted. The Mamash melted it into water. You crushed it down, that it's now water. That's what the Rambam is referring to. So it's a machlekes, a gedolei ha'poskim. What did the Rambam mean? What was the Rambam's opinion on the Shana? Other Rishonim point out that this question, whether you can tovel in snow the way it is, b'sheh u'shav, there are really two different issues taking place. There are really two different reasons to potentially disqualify snow in the state that it's in. Number one, you can argue that it's not water for the help you did. Warach Maya mikvah Maya Yatar, the word Maya means liquid. That the fact that it's going to become a liquid, that's irrelevant. But Bashir Sham, it's not considered to be a liquid. That's one possible objection to snow. But other Rishonim say perhaps you can disqualify snow for a different reason, namely that you're not, the person who's tifling is not really touching the water. It means the mikvah is a kosher mikvah, so to speak. 40 saw of snow is a kosher mikvah, but there's a technical problem. You can't get into it. In the sense of is that there are air pockets. There's air there, so the mikvah, so to speak, the mayim of the mikvah is not really touching your body. So some Rishonim disqualify snow, not because snow is not called water. Snow is considered to be water. Even right now, in the state that it's in, it's considered dino kemayim. It's a technical problem in terms of achisarim and tefillah, so you want to really make it a brisk of art. There are different Rishonim have different objections to the tefillah and shalem. Either it's a achisarim in the chefts of the mikvah, or it's a achisarim in the ma'is of tefillah, that you're not considered to be touching the water. And there are other Rishonim who deny both of these things. Other Rishonim say that there's no problem whatsoever. How do we pass the halacha? This basic machlekes is no good in the state that it's in. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says yes. After all, don't forget the Shulchan Aruch. Beis Yosef is the one who said that even the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that it's basically okay. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and writes, it's mutter. There's nothing wrong. Lechatchilim, stami, you could be tovel. Beis Yosef writes lechatchilim, maybe not. But Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote that. Shulchan Aruch writes, you could just be tovel in snow. End of discussion. Comes the Rambam and says, well, the Rasa Mishan will disqualify it for the variety of reasons that we mentioned. Therefore, it's not a good idea. Lechatchilim, it's better to avoid it. But with the Abed, the Rambam is maskim to the Mechaber that it would be good. Comes the Shach and says Chas v'Shalom. Nobody holds a Rabbeinu Shmari. It was a Das Yachid. The Shach goes out to share 20 Rishonim who disagree. First of all, the Rambam, his interpretation of the Rambam. Then the Rabbeinu Elazar, and then he quotes your Raiva that he claims disagrees, which may or may not disagree. Then he quotes your Baal HaMor that may or may not disagree. Of course, you're 10 Rishonim, and each one you can argue with. But the Shach tries to make a very convincing case that Tevila B'Sheleg, in the state that it's in, is not acceptable. Halacha L'maisa. We paskin that it's no good. Even if you would have a woman who would want to tovel b'sheleg, to find such a brave woman, I can tell the problem with the Alaskan mikvah that closed there a few months ago. Even if you would want a tovel b'sheleg, so we paskin the halacha like the shach. The later acharon will assume the halacha that under no circumstances will we permit tevila b'sheleg. It's a shaylava deraisa. However, there is a big however. There are a group of poskim who say that after all, We're not so convinced that Tefillah B'Shelag is no good. Okay, this occurs, we're not going to take a chance. But what about for other areas of halacha? Let's say, for example, for Tefillah's Kalim. What's the din? This is a real mice. This is a Shiloh. This happens all the time. It's a good winter day, and you just bought something new, and you know, can't get around to going to the Kalim Mikvah. So you want to stick it in your backyard? There are more than 40 soft snow in your backyard. So you want to know, can I take my spoon and stick it into the snow? So the Shulchan Aruch says yes. Mechabel Paskins, your wife can also go into the snow. The Shulchan Aruch holds it's okay. The Ramah says, Chachili, you shouldn't, but make or didn't, it's okay. A whole group of Acharonim said, let's make the following compromise. When Tefillah's Kelim is D'araisa, let's say, from metal, you want to talk about your silverware, your pot in the snow, you shouldn't go against the Shach, you shouldn't go against the later Acharonim or Machri against the Mechabel and Ramah. Whenever there's a shot of a D'araisa, you shouldn't use snow in the way that it's at. But if it's only derabanan, for example, kli zechuchis, the poskim say that glass is only obligated in tefillas kelim and derabanan. Metal is a shaila. Metal we assume is machalik is amishar whether it's deraisa or derabanan, but we assume lechumah that it's deraisa shaila of deraisa. Whereas glass we assume is at worst only derabanan. So therefore, some poskim have this compromise that tefillas isha vadana should never do in snow the way that it's in. Tefillas kelim, if it's matechas, if it's metal, should also not be done in snow. But tefillas kelim, if it's only zechuches, not the end of the world. Klei zechuches, yesh mocham lahakil, if you're stuck, to be tevil in snow. And other achareim say, we don't paskin like this tefillah b'shelag. Forget about the mechab. It's a hard thing to say. Forget about the mechab, forget about the ramon, forget about the Rabbeinu Shmaya. We paskin, that's it. Shelag is no good in the state that it's in. No ands, ifs, and buts. I think I mentioned a couple of months ago, I had a shayla. A guy called me up a few months ago, one of my tamidim, previous tamidim, that he was by his in-laws for Shabbos, and he noticed that his in-laws had just bought a new set of glasses, and he offered, I think like it was like late Friday afternoon, so he was like, offered, okay, if you want me to go run to the Caleb, and he said, no problem, we were totally ready in the backyard in the snow, it was a big snow outside. We table the glasses. The rabbi in town said you can table the glasses in the backyard. So this Talmud of mine called me frantic about what should he do. So I said to him as follows: I said, "Nira loyman that erev Shabbos samuch l'shkia yesh machal mahakol b'di'evet. Considering that's not your kelim, it's your father-in-law's kelim. I said, you want my honest opinion? You have to Shabbos sneak him out of the house and go table him without a bracha. Without a bracha, Chavim Nirma says they're tabled already. I said, no, make a bracha glass. Make a bracha glass. Now plastic, these which are only fake, because we don't put something which is really glass. There are a lot of things out there which are not sure what they are, but the real McCoy, real glass, should make a bracha. So this was the shayla. Please come have another discussion. What also could be a shayla. What about Netilas Yadayim in Sunnah? There's a halacha that for a person to fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, you can do it one of two ways. Either you can use a kli and pour the water on your hands, or if you have a kosher mikvah, so you can stick your hands in the mikvah and then you don't have to wash. Some people think they have to go take a cup, fill up the mikvah water, and pour it on. You don't have to do that. But if you have a kosher mikvah, just stick your hands into the mikvah and get out. So I've done that once or twice. I did that once in the ocean. Once I was, where was it? The beach was the question. I don't remember where it was. It was in Ashkelon. One of the separate beaches somewhere. Wherever the mice was, we had some food and we were eating out by the beach. And the question is, where's the closest water? The answer is you go over to the water, you stick your hands inside, and that's the Tefillas Yadayim. There's a big machlekes of Rishonim, a bracha you make. Some Rishonim say you make Al Tefillas Yadayim, and others say you just say Al Tefillas Yadayim. Low plug, you don't want to get people confused. A different minhagim what bracha to make. But as long as it's a kasha mikvah, so then it's okay. So now the shaila becomes, let's say you're outside somewhere, it's inconvenient to go get a cup, so you want to, it's nice to melt the snow out in your backyard, so you want to just stick your hands in the snow and be yitzin until it's yadayim like that. So there were a group of achronim who said it's okay. The Beis Yosef himself seems to say it's okay, because the Beis Yosef writes that it's a shayla, that tefillah b'shelag, and the Shulchan Aruch really holds that it's good, and the Beis Yosef writes you should try to avoid it, but for the tefillah yadayim, the Beis Yosef writes it's okay. The tefillah yadayim, nishkafelach, and so some achronim will follow suit. And most of the poskim, we assume halacha not like that. We assume that we're not big believers of this tefillah b'shelag. We hold it's no good. In the state of shelag, we hold you have to wait till it melts for whatever reason. And therefore, we assume that even a tefillah yadayim really should not be done in shelag. A person stuck, nowhere else to. Maybe b'shas and chagol. But in normal circumstances, we don't permit tefillahs adam b'shelag. For sure, we don't permit tefillahs kelim, even tefillahs includes chuches, and the tilas yadayim also one should try to avoid doing b'shelach. I remember the only time I once saw somebody doing the tilas yadayim in shelach, I was once at a levaya, so after the, it was in the middle of January, and after they were leaving the Beis HaKvaros, so the person wanted to wash his hands, so there was no water outside the Beis HaKvaros to wash, so he just stuck his hands into the shelach. So, for that, it's okay. For that din of ruach ra or something, so mustama, that's acceptable. So this is the first issue in terms of tefillah b'shelach. Although the Mishnah speaks about tefillah b'shelach, it doesn't necessarily mean in the state of being shelach, and we assume Allah and most poskim assume that it has to be melted in order for it to be acceptable. The second issue that becomes important in terms of tefillah b'shelach, there are some Rishonim who say that even in a situation where tefillah b'shelach is okay, i.e. melted, the way we poskim Allah, that melted snow is alright, the Mishnah in Mikvos quotes Machlekes HaTanoim, whatever shelach we're talking about, either it's solid snow or it's melted snow already, the Mishnah quotes a machlekes atanoim that one Tana says that shelach is ma'al le'as ha-mikvah, and the second Tana says that osim mimena mikvah betchila. What's the difference between ma'al le'as ha-mikvah and osim mimena mikvah betchila? So if you look at the Mishnah and Mikvahs, the Mishnah explains whenever Chazal uses the phrase ma'al le'as ha-mikvah, that means that if you have 21 saw of kosher water, so then you can use this to fill up the mikveh, so to speak. As long as the robe of the mikveh is from normal water, then the rest is ma'alem. It counts to mashlim, the shiur of the mikveh. According to the first Tana, even when snow is good, even though maybe talking about melted snow, the way we assume the halacha, it's not good totally. It's only good if you have 21 saw of regular water, and then you take 19 saw of smelted snow, and you put it together, we'll get to the shiur issue, and you combine it together, and then and only then is the mikvah kosher. According to the first Tana in Mikvos, if you take a big bulk of snow, and you melt 40 saw of snow, that's no good. But snow is not really dino kevai. Snow is a special status in Allah, that it's a mashlim, it's a mikvah, it's a shah, where that din comes from. But Rishonim tried to explain what's the source of that din, but there is one opinion to know that seems to say that snow is kosher, either in the state of snow or melted, but that only means to be ma'alas and mikvah, it's not kosher b'chir atma. Comes the second Tana and says, no, and it's totally good that you can use shelag, whatever your definition of shelag, either melted or not melted, you can make the whole mikvah, akal mikvah, all 40 saw from snow. How do we paskin halacha? The overwhelming majority we show in paskin like the second Tana. Like the Mishnah quotes a Ma'aseh Shehayah that they followed the second Tana, that seems to be the psak of most of the Rishonim, with the exception perhaps of Rashi may disagree. There's a Raivad that may or may not disagree depending on who you ask, but the Raivad said there is a minority view in Rishonim that holds that even if snow is good, if I meant to Murim that it's good, that means to be Ma'al as a mikvah, to be Ma'ashim as a mikvah, but to make a mikvah with Chila out of snow, that's out of the question. So far we have two issues involved whenever we're dealing with the snow mikvah. Number one, the issue is it melted or is it not? Number two, are we talking about the whole 40 saws from snow, or you have 21 saw of regular one? Third issue, already a few people were asking me, is how is the snow going to get there? Isn't it a problem of shuvin? I mean, if it snows in your backyard and you want to tidal in your backyard, that's one thing. But how in the world are you going to transport snow, or transport ice for that matter? Isn't that going to be a problem of shuvin? So believe it or not, most of the Rishonim seem to say that it's not a problem. That snow and ice and these quasi-water things are not subject to the psul of Mayan Shuvim.
The water's the other side.
It's even better, it's better than water, so to speak. And not everyone agrees. The Balamor disagrees with this. The Balamor says Beferish, that the Mishnah that talks about transporting snow to the mikvah, so most of Rishonim say, the Tanarim transported snow. What did they transport it in? They put it in a truck, they put it in a bucket, they put it in something, they carried it over, it's Mayan Shuvim. Comes the Balamor and says, no, they did it to Amshacha, they did it to a Kli without a hole, we'll call it Kunzim. Balamor says, Chas v'Shalom, that it's subject to the same Sulim of Sheuvim as all other Mayim. Tachlis, where does all this fit, Halach Lamas? How do we paskin on all these Shailas? So we said, the first Shailah, we paskin L'chumra, that snow in the state that it's in is not acceptable. Once it's melted, presumably it's okay. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that even 40 saw of snow, melted snow is okay. We're not choshesh for that Raivad and that Rashi Shita, that it's only Mashlim. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's the way the Ramah paskins, that's the way the Shach paskins, that we just, not Geras, that Shita, we don't follow that Shita, that's Machmir, that has to be at least the majority of regular water. And what about the issue of Sheuvin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's nothing to worry about. He doesn't worry about the Baal HaMor, and the Ramah doesn't worry about the Baal HaMor. The Gedol, the overwhelming majority of the Gedol HaPoskim were not concerned with the Chumrah of the Baal HaMor. As the same snow, right? The Mishnah is a fair friend.
Can you increase the water and make ice cubes?
Maybe that's maybe gonna be next week's year. You start out with Maim Sheuven and then you turn it into ice, and then does it lose its status? Does it lose its status? Maim Sheuven.
Like,
that's a big question. That's a big challenge. So Tachlis, where does this put us? Halach l'maisa, you live in a place out in you live in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. You want to build a mikvah, so you build a big hole in the ground. And you're waiting to fill up your bar Zriya and your bar Shaka. You're waiting, Ad Bias Goyal, for your 40 saw of rain. It's not going to come. What do you do? So, very simple. You go to the top of the mountain with your truck, and you chisel out a huge block of ice, transport it down the mountain, throw it into the hole in the ground, wait for it to melt. Phoenix should take you about 3 hours or so until it melts. And then, poof, lo and behold, you have a kasha mikvah. You do that once for the bar Zriya, you do it once for the bar Shacha, and now you have two kasha bayras full of water, and then you do what, same as we do with rainwater, we do the bar Zriya, and then we connect with the bar Shacha, and everything, Shalom Yisrael, you're home free, gevaldik. Couple of problems. First of all, even though according to the Shulchan Aruch this is perfectly acceptable, according to the Ramah and the Shach, this is totally acceptable. It's nothing wrong. It's melted ice, so it's kosher, presumably the Choladeus. Are they right? We don't pass like they're right. The Baal HaMor? We don't pass like the Baal HaMor. So of course you can well imagine that Samach Haraitim said, what a mikveh that's no good according to the Baal HaMor. You don't want to build a mikveh that's no good according to the Ravid, even though we said most of the mikvehs are probably possible according to the Ravid anyway, because of Natal Savad Asal Sav, but okay. So some Acharonim said, we don't want to do this and we don't have to, but even though there were some who were makbid on, there were some Gedolim who were makbid on these snow and ice mikvehs that are prevalent, that are used out in the warm places, the overwhelming majority of the Poskim said that they are okay, based on the way we pass in Halacha and Shulchan Aruch against those opinions in the Rishonim. So this is an effective way of creating a mikveh in a place where there's no rain. Poskim say it should only be used if there's no rain. It's in Paramus, you don't have to make an ice mikveh, but in other places, they do have to. In fact, they really do. Okay. How are you going to transport this block of ice? In a truck. What's the big deal? You put it in a truck. A truck's a clean big deal. Big deal. It's not Nivsal B'Shul. Comes the Chassam Sofer and writes, in Europe they used to do this. There were places in Europe that used to do this. Comes the Chassam Sofer and writes, you have to be so careful of the following. When you transport these blocks of ice or these mounds of snow, it's great, cold mound that it remains solid frozen. Once it starts to melt, guess what? It's water. Whatever part is a you have Mayim Sheuven. Says the Chassam Sofer, you're going to carry a box of ice or your things of snow in a big kli, Gewalt says the Chassam Sofer, as soon as it starts to melt, some of the water is mamish mayim shuvin. You're pouring mayim shuvin into the mikvah.
What?
Okay. So the Chassam Sofer didn't have. So in the days of Chassam Sofer, they couldn't have such a concept. What did they do? Said the Chassam Sofer. That's right. That's what the Chassam Sofer said. Drill holes in the bottom of the kli. That's what the Chassam Sofer said. Put holes in the bottom, and therefore it's a clean nakov. And according to most Rishonim, a clean nakov is not possible. Shuvin. Remember from many, many moons ago. That was the Chassam Sofer's etza. Baruch Hashem, we've moved past that point. We've gotten to the refrigerator truck, so that's a ma'isa. What they do? I remember the Rav in Sacramento. I once spoke in Sacramento. So he told me they had just finished building a mikvah in Sacramento and they were not going to sit around and wait for rain. He said they went to the Sierra Mountains and they went with their equipment, their freezer trucks, and they chiseled away blocks of ice, stuck it in a freezer truck, drove it down five hours till they got to Sacramento, and they popped it into the mikvah and sat around and waited for it to melt. That's in fact what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's perfectly okay. That's what they do in many, many mikvahs today. Suffice to say, not everyone likes this based on the considerations that we said before. Hopefully we'll have to continue next week with some of the things to be concerned about these mikvahs. You have to be very, very careful when you're building these types of mikvahs. And then we'll have to come to the potentially multi-million dollar question in the sense of, if that's good, what's wrong with man-made ice? Can you just do the following? Just take water right out of the pipes, freeze it, put it into the mikvah, and have it melt. Is that okay or is that not?
You put it in, wine it.
Without the wine. If that's okay, so we have enough money to build a 15-room mikvah because we just saved a lot of money on our pipes and our whole roof. If that's not okay, which is we're going to see, just about no mikvahs around today rely on this. There are a few very, very in some far-flung places that still rely on the skula, but nobody builds mikvahs today with the artificial ice. But hopefully next week we'll have to continue with the ice.